Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, first of the wide lines, which are the middle size wide lines, if you have a standard Shas Bavli. Rava, we're continuing with the Gedolei Yisrael, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, and what post Shmon Esrei Tfilos they authored. Bosat Slosi Amar Hochi Elokai, Ad Shalom Notzarti Eini Kedai. This is a very famous prayer which we integrate into our very Yom Kippur davening. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch, almost like a Hodas Baldin, he admits that before I was born, I wasn't even worthy to be born. The Achshav Shenotzarti, now that I have been created, what significance do I have? It's Ki Lo Notzarti. I really haven't accomplish my goal, I haven't lived up to my potential. These are words of confession, of humility. And as I mentioned in the last shiur, the Gemara in Erevin says that after years of debating this, Nimnu Vigamru, the Gemara came to the conclusion that Noach Lo Li Adam Shalom Nivra Yoser Mishanivra. That man would have been better off had he not been born. Rav Kook, Zichron Levrach, the first chief rabbi of Palestine, used to say that Ad Shalom Notzarti Eini Kedai means that a person, his neshama and guf, are appropriate for a certain period of time in history. And it's Hashgachas Hashem that he would be born at a certain moment, a critical moment where he could play a role and make a contribution. So Ad Shalom Notzarti, until I was created, Eini Kedai. It wasn't worth it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to put my particular personality in that period of time. And Achshav Shenotzarti, unfortunately now I've been placed, born at a certain juncture in history, nevertheless I haven't lived up to my potential. And therefore, Ofar ani b'chayai v'kal v'chomer b'misasi, I'm not worth that much in my life. I'm offer. And this perhaps is a hint at what David HaMelech says in Tehillim Kuf Gimel, Zachar ki afar anachnu, and the greats of our ancestry have always expressed in their humiliation and their humble humility the fact that we were created from afar. And kal v'chomer b'misasi, how much more so when the time will come for me to leave this world. Man was created from afar, and he'll return to the afar. And what it means in the sense of kal v'chomer b'misasi, if I haven't fulfilled the mitzvahs during my lifetime, as I should have, then for sure, if my death, I'll be chafshi min ha-mitzvahs, I won't have an opportunity to fulfill the mitzvahs. Harei ani lefanecha kichlima libusho chlima. A person in his humility will admit that he's like a kli. A kli means a goof that has an neshama in it. It's a receptacle for the soul, and yet I am embarrassed, almost humiliated by the disappointment of my kli hosting my soul. Yiratzim v'necha Hashem Elokai shelo echta od. And again, we ask for siyata d'shmaya, not to fall prey again to sin in the future. Mashech hatosif v'necha marek b'rachamecha rabim. Marek means to cleanse me of my sins with your great kindness and compassion, but please Hashem, not through suffering and terrible illnesses. And in fact, we had a Gemara not long ago, you may remember, about how the Tanoim didn't even want to experience Yisurim Shalava. They would say, no, I don't want these Yisurim. So he's asking to be spared of these sufferings. And again, this concept of admitting that I'm a Kli Mali Busha, that has to do with what we said back on Yud Beis, Kol Osid Varver Mispayish Bo, is Mochlo Kol Avono Sov, meaning Busha is a key to project us to Mechila and Kapora. And Rabbeinu Yonin is Shari Tshuva, makes a big deal about the centrality, the role of Busha in Tshuva, in the process of Tshuva. And although we don't want Yisurim, because Yisurim are a punishment that we can't handle, but if Chas V'Shalom we become repulsive in the eyes of the Almighty, of our Creator, then He sends us Yisurim, so we're asking to be spared of the suffering. And that's the vidui, the Gemara says, of Rav Hamnuna Zuti B'Yom HaKippurim, and that's why our minhag is to integrate this tefillah of Rava into our vidui of Yom Kippur. Mar B'Reid Ravina Ki Ave Misayim Tzolsi Yom Rahochi Elokai Netzar L'Shoni Meira. Oh, now we're getting really hot. We're getting close to home. This already reflects our minhag. God help me to prevent misusing, abusing my power of speech for the wrong ways. The power of speech is something that Chai Adam, everyone has life almost in the Lashon. And we have to be very careful to avoid both Lashon Hara and, as we'll see in a second, Mirma. The difference between Lashon Hara and Mirma is that a person who speaks Mirma might sound very good, but he knows it's not good. He knows it's treachery, it's trying to mislead someone. Lashon Hara is quite clear that it's obvious that it's pejorative, slander. We need what's called a peh chalak, a smooth mouth. So nitzar l'shoni mira, usvasai midaber mirma, and then hopefully we'll have what's called a peh chalak. Vilum kalkalai nafshi sidom, those who try to attack me, my adversaries, let me be quiet. Let me accept it and let it roll off me. Eshtok l'makalim osi, I won't respond to them and get angry and get into a fight and altercation with them, even though they deserve it. And nafshi kafar l'kol tia, these are very humble words. Just like the afar exists in the world forever and ever, so too may it be your will, God, that my children, my descendants, will never be destroyed. As it says, Vayezarcha kafar ha'aretz, God promises Avram Avinu that his descendants, the Jewish nation, will be like the afar ha'aretz, they will never be destroyed. But really what's going on here is that a person sees himself as afar, and as a result, he is zoche fakiyum, he will merit continued existence, because as we said before, the afar ain't a sholit be'kloya, we don't destroy, it's not destructible. But again, we're asking for siyata d'shmaya here from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be what's called a nelav v'lo amaliv, an anova. We don't want people to curse us, but we don't want to curse back out those who do curse us. We want to be imitators of Avraham Avinu, who said, Anochi afar va'efer. The Marshal, the Chochma Shlomo, Luria, Rav Shlomo Luria, had a different take on this Gemara, on this tefillah. He says that afar means that people step, they trample on the afar, and afterwards, Hu dores al kol adorsim, Shari sof kulam li kover b'tocha afar. So the afar, in a sense, takes revenge. On the one hand, we stample on it, but on the other hand, it stamples on those after their death, they get buried under the ground. the tefillah of Mar Bered Ravina was that Sofam Shel Kol Elu Hamitzarin, also those who cause me suffering, they should also be like the offer that is Dores. Again, that takes it to be a kind of a hope or a prayer for revenge, which has to be understood in the Kalman, the Torah's attitude towards revenge. The Marsha adds another element to this equation. He says that Limakalkalai Anafshi Tirdom means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Shosek for those who curse me. Sheyashtik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Mashtik, those who curse me. And he adds, V'nafshi ke'afar l'koltia, meaning that I would be considered in their eyes like the offer, and they wouldn't bother cursing the offer. P'sachli bi'u sarsecha. Now, until now, it's kind of been sur me'ra, but now it's asei tov. U'v'mitzvosecha t'edov nafshi. Give me the impetus and the desire, the love for mitzvahs, that I will run after mitzvahs. Tatzileni mi'pega ra. Now he goes back, shifts back into a negative to save us from all sorts of pegayim ra'im, and mi'etzara, mi'ishara, from a bad woman. Even though now I have a good woman, he says, but nevertheless, maybe she'll die, chas shom, I have to get remarried. Or perhaps he was mispalel that his wife should never become an ishara, chas v'shalom. Of course, back in the day, the man would marry a number of wives, and perhaps he wanted to make sure that any additional wives that he married would not be evil and cause him to go off the path and veer and deviate from the path of God. When we call Rosh HaMisrag Shalos Lovli Liolam, save me, spare me for all evil in this world, V'chalachoshim Alai Ra, those who think evil of me, Mehera, please quickly, Haferat Sasam, just foil all their plans, their schemes against me, Kalkal, Machshavosam, and undermine all their thoughts. Once again, as I've said over and over again, we're not sure if this is a Tfilas Yochid on behalf of himself, or perhaps this goes beyond this, and every single part of this prayer should be understood symbolically of a desire, a supplication for the protection of Klal Yisrael against their adversaries. Yiratzen Refi, Ve'gyon Libi L'fanecha Hashem Tzuri V'Goli. And he concludes his tefillah with a pasuk, and it's quite possible that this last line in the Gemara here that more or less culminates the entire sugya that we started yesterday and continue today about the various tefillos that were authored by each one of the Chachmei HaTalmud to be added after the Shmoneh Esrei. This last line goes back on all of those tefillos, and it's not a tag on or a closure to Mabere de Ravina's tefillah, but rather everyone's tefillah should end with this recitation of Yiu L'Ratzon Refi, etc. The Rashba quotes the Ravid that perhaps it's not a good idea to recite the Yiu L'Ratzon after davening. He says, "Ein nachon lasos kein el tzorch lomer yiratzon miyad acher shesim tefilah shmon esrei." He should wedge it between the end of Shmon Esrei and Varach Sam Yisrael Vashalom, the last bracha, and the additional tag-ons of the Tachnunim that we've learned now. So immediately after the Shmon Esrei, he should recite Yiu L'Ratzon Refi. And the reason for that is because even David HaMelech said this, recited this pasuk after his Shmon Esrei. Take a look in Tehillim Perek Yutes. And we should also recite it at the end of Shmon Esrei, even before we add the Tachnunim. Our minug, or some people have minug, to recite it twice, once before the Tachnunim and once after the Tachnunim. And Rav Sheshes ki Avi Yosef b'taneisa, when Rav Sheshes would fast, not only for a personal Kabbalas Yochid, but even for a Tainis Tzibur, he would recite the following. Basa de Matzle, when he finished his tefillah,
Ribono Olam im Galui Lefanecha Shebizman Shebeis Hamikdash Kayim Adam Chotei Makriv Karbon. When a person sinned, he brought a carbon as a kapar of Yein Makrivim Mimenu Ela Chelbo V'Dama. And the part that gets burnt on the Mizbech from carbon is the Chelev and the Dam. Umiskaperlo. And then as a result, he achieves atonement for his sin. V'Achshav, we don't have the Beis Hamikdash. Yashavti B'Sinus, I sat in a fast. Nismait Chelbi V'Dami. My chelev, my inner fats, my dam, my blood in my body have diminished. Yiratzim fanecha, may be your will. Shehei chelbi v'domi shenismait ki'ilu ekravtiv lefanecha al gabi mizbeach, ha-mizbeach v'tirtzeni. The word v'tirtzeni that comes from the concept of ritzui is what every single karban has to achieve. Ritzui. To be misratza, to be desired by Hashem. And we ask Hashem through the tainus that it should be a substitute, a replacement for the karban. It's got the mute damim v'chelev, like a karban that's brought on the mizbeach with the burning of the chelev and the dam. And this is what we really, the essence of a tainus. A tainus is really part of tshuva. Tshuva is a prerequisite to karban, which is a means and a method of achieving kapara. And so, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, V'chein balei chatos v'ashamos b'eishem mevim karbanosem al shigigosem al zdonam enim skapalim b'karbanam atshiyase tshuva v'yisvadu vidui dvarim. And Rav Sheshes, although he has not formulated the nusach, the substance of his particular confession is vidui, but nevertheless you know that his prayer to Hashem, that his fast, his tainus should be accepted on high like a karbon, is based on the fact that he said vidui if, and only if he knew what he might have been deficient in. And this concept that a tainus replaces a karbon and is a key element of tshuva is a concept that we have to take to heart whenever we fast. The many fast days that we have during the course of the Hebrew calendar year, we should realize it's not just all about fasting. It's about a sincere process of tshuva in which we do tshuva, and then the fasting itself becomes a replacement for the karban. The Gemara now goes on to quote Rabbi Yochanan in his statement when he completed the Sefer of Iyov. Rabbi Yochanan Kavi Messiah Sefer the Iyov Amar Hachi Sof Adam Lamus V'Sof Behema L'Shchita V'Kolam Misaim Omdim. Man will die, the animals will die. Is Ashrei Misha Gadol B'Torah V'Amoli B'Torah. If we're all going to die like the animals, so what is unique? What can a human being hope for? Is it just that he's born into this world and every second he's getting closer to death? Is that what it's all about? But Ashrei Misha Gadol B'Torah V'Amola B'Torah V'Olse Nachas Ruach Liyotzo, he does Maisim Tovim. The entire universe belongs to God. And man was not created except to bring Nachas Ruach liYotzro. And that means V'oso Nachas Ruach liYotzro b'maisim tovim, as the Chazal say, darshaning a pasuk in Bamidbar Tesvav, Hitakriv Reach Nichoch Lashem. Nachas Ruach lefonai shamarti v'nasa ritzoni. This is the Nachas Ruach, when Hashem commands us and He expresses His will and we fulfill His will. So V'yosa Nachas Ruach liYotzro, in this declaration of Rabbi Yochanan, is something that really touches on the very essence and justifies our creation. We're saying that because of our Maisim, our good deeds, it's Nachas Ruach liYotzro. God created us, and this is why He created us. So we're fulfilling His will in creation. And some of the Achronim say, going very far out, that every action that one does, it should be almanas with the kavana sheyeh ba'em nachas ruach liyotzro. Ashrei mi sha'af liyachas shekvar gadol b'torah, adayin hu mamshich lamol ba. Even though it's gadol b'torah, and he's really achieved great levels of Torah knowledge, nevertheless amol b'torah, he's continuing constantly to put in that labor, that energy, that mamshich lamol ba. And therein, he achieves what we call a tremendous nachas ruach liyotzo. He shows, HaKadosh Baruch demonstrates, that all his kavanah limud is kedei lasos nachas ruach liyotzo, because if he had a kavanah lizgadel to be important, then he wouldn't be mamshich, he wouldn't continue to dedicate himself to amelus, to hard work, once he's already gadol b'torah, he's already gotten all the applause. The olav amar Shlomo Amelech in Sefer Koheles, tov shemin tov v'tov v'yom amoves miyom hivoldo. And this is the greatness of man who, at the end of his life, can declare that he had, number one, a shem tov, and number two, that he's even greater than he was when he was born without sin. He didn't just live here for 70, 80 years and then go on, pass on to the next world, but rather he contributed. He brought, through his steiging in Torah, through his amelus b'Torah, through his asiyas nachas, l'ribono shel olam, he achieved something that's by far way greater than had he not been born. So this is the answer to the question of the Gemara in Erevin. Would it be better if a man wasn't born? Maybe yes, but now that he's born, he could do even better than if he was just born. And sof adam lemisa, that's the very sobering, solemn words here, that a person will die, hopefully bismano, bizaknuso, when he gets older. And all of his life should be one stream, one string of Amel, of Amelus B'Torah. And when we said before, Sof Behema L'Shchita, what that means is, in its time, a person will be taken in his time. Let's just mention Rashi on that posuk in Koheles. Rashi says, Yofa Liodom Shem Tov Mishemin Tov Ubiyom Amoves Tov Hashem Yomi Voldo. So he's achieved this great reputation, and that's what he takes as he ends his life. Shem Tov is even greater than Shemen Tov in many different ways. Now, the reason why Rabbi Yochanan recited these poetic words when he completed the book of Iyov is because Iyov, Rashi tells us, was Niftar B'Shem Tov. The Marsha writes that after all, the book of Iyov deals with Misas HaOdom and all the suffering that man endures during his lifetime. Therefore, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, he wanted to say that Sof Odom Lamoves, after he finished the Sefer Iyov, this Sof Odom Lamoves is so typical and reflective of what Iyov was trying to convey and the essential message of that book. Now the Gemara gives us various idiomatic statements, principles that were formulated. Each Tana, each Amora had his own. Margala befume de Rabbi Meir. First, the pearl of wisdom in the mouth of Rabbi Meir. This was the statement that he commonly exclaimed. The Gemara says the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to man and he says to man, Gemar b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshcha l'das es drachai. Study with all your heart, with all your soul, to know my ways. V'lishkod al dalsei torasi. And to be shoked, meaning a shakdan, is someone who has a tremendous amount of what we call zitzfly, she can sit, and he can continue hours and hours on end, and he's a great masmid. And this is what Rabbi Meir used to say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to man and says, learn, study with all your nefesh, with all your heart, all your soul, to know God. And lishkod al dalse torasi, to try to be a masmid in Torah, specifically dalse sorasi, means the doors of the Beis HaMedrash. Perhaps this is an allusion to the fact that every single word of Torah is like a delis. It's like a door that you go into, and you go into the various rooms in the house. And let's say, for example, the Torah says, make a sukkah. First you want to build a door, an opening. And perhaps the message here is that when a person takes upon himself as an intellectual to study Torah, to know the Torah, he wants to know God, he wants to know the unity of God, the power of God, he wants to understand the ways of God according to whatever capability God gave him, lefi sichlo. But nevertheless, it's always on the condition of lishkod al dalsei torasi, that all his investigations, all his study of emunah, faith and philosophy, everything is within the context of the dalsei torasi, the doors of Torah, and it has a pure Torah content to it, as opposed to some chakiris that we know about that will take us off the path, off the road. Nitzar torasi belibcha v'neged einecha tia yirasi. God, everything I accomplish in Torah, in Yira, it should all be in front of your eyes. You should, in a sense, preserve it. Shmar picha mikol chet. Every person has to take upon himself to be careful about his dibur. As we said earlier, a person's koch adibur is very dangerous if he abuses it, but it could be great if he uses it in the right way. And v'tayer v'kadesh atzmecha mikol ashma v'avon, and then ani eya imcha b'chol makom. Now, there seems to be a shift here within the statement of Rabbi Meir from the Reisha to the Seifa. Because in the Reisha, God is addressing man. And yet, got used to a different method, a different approach in all the other mamorim that we learned here. It's a message to man, to awaken man, that comes directly from Hashem. And Hashem is addressing man. So God says to man, that nitzar l'torasi b'libcha, don't forget my Torah, neged einecha tia yirasi, you should always be in a state of fear of God. Careful about what you speak. Sanctify yourself and purify yourself from all evil. Tayer v'kadesh atzmecha mikol ashma v'avon. And then, if you'll do that, Hashem says, "Ani eyeh imcha b'chol makom." It's a promise that God gives to every single individual that he can reach this level of love for Torah, inquiry, as we said before, religious curiosity, taking the Torah that we learn and knowing it, preserving it, and always seeing Yira in front of our eyes, which will cause us, hopefully, to avoid sin. And we will sanctify ourselves and purify ourselves from every evil, and God will be with us at all times. Margala befumayu derabbanan de Yavne. We have the rabbis of Yavne, and they had their own favorite adage, religious poetry here. Ani Bria, I study the Torah, and I was created chaveri, the ignorant, who are dedicating themselves exclusively to malacha, and they're not involved in the Torah, period. They are also the same physical creation as me, same biological being that I am, same heart, same ability to distinguish between good and evil. But yet, ani b'malachti b'socha ir, for who b'malachto basode? I am dedicated to the study of Torah in the city, and he is out there in the fields dedicating himself to labor. Ani mashkim l'malachti, v'hu mashkim l'malachti. We both get up early to each one respect to do his malach. Shem shehu eino mizgader b'malachti. He has no interest in stealing my occupation and studying Torah. That doesn't interest him. Kach so too, ani eino mizgader b'malachto. I don't want to leave my enterprise, my dedication to the study of Torah in order to dedicate myself to Malacha. V'shema Tomar. And if you'll say that he's better than me, right? Hadin Imo. He's logically correct. She'ena rotza litfosis melechas liman Torah. He may say, I don't want to get involved in Torah study. It's not for me. You know, I'm dedicated to my Malacha. And the answer is, Hani marba v'hu m'mayit. If he would only do whatever he could do, even within a limited time framework, then he would have a lev pasuach, he would have an open mind, open heart, and he would add more Torah and more Torah, just like me. But he can learn a little bit, and lo ayinotel kach schar. You might think, you might entertain this like a yochel, you might think that since he's learning such a limited amount of time, he won't be rewarded. No. We have a statement in the Gemara Menachos, Daf Kuf Yud, Shaninu, Echad Amarba v'Echad Amamit, Ubilvad Shiyis Yechavi Libo L'Shamayim. Whatever he does, whatever he's capable of doing, as long as he's doing even in that limited amount of time that he has, L'Shem Shamayim, for the sake of the mitzvah, for the sake of Hashem, then he gets the schar. And he gets the schar as a marbe. If the marbe has possibilities and potentials that he doesn't have, but even for his miut, he deserves, it's what you call quality, not quantity, l'shem shamayim, he's a marbe l'shem shamayim, and therefore he will be rewarded. Chachamim never wanted to give themselves a pat on the back, as we say, lahachzik tov liatzma, for whatever they did and what they accomplished in Torah study. In a sense, they compared themselves to the bali umnis, you know, to those who were working, the balabatim, as we call it, and they would say that just like an uman, he's busy with his occupation, he does harisha and zriya and ketzira and so forth and so on, so they too are osik in their malacha, to study, to teach. And on the contrary, their malach is relatively easy. It doesn't have that back-breaking labor work, and therefore they shouldn't be machzik tov liatzmam, they shouldn't be patting themselves on the back. Lekach notzarti. And if you take a look in the Marsha, he raises a couple of questions. Why did the Chachamim call the Ami Ha'aretz Chaveri? And secondly, why does the Gemara mention the Chachmei Yavne? Every Talmud Chacham should say this. As we say, B'Yitzyasu Omer, Modani L'fanecha Sham L'kai, Shesam T'chelki M'yoshvei Beis Medjus, L'osam T'chelki M'yoshvei Kronos, etc., etc., etc. And he suggests the following, that when the Chacham said Chaveri Birya, they weren't referring to the Ami Haaretz, who are not dedicated at all to the study of Torah, but rather to people who study a little bit of Torah according to their ability, and then they go to work in the Sada. They don't have the time to be marbe b'lima. That opportunity they don't have. And therefore the Chacham say, Ani birya v'chaveri birya. In other words, this is roy, this is appropriate for Chacham, and this for someone who's not a Chacham. If a person, according to the divine decree from his birth, was able to dedicate himself to Torah, that's what he has, that's one thing. As the Gemara says in Nida, Oso Malach Hamemuna Alei Royin Laila, Laila Shmo, Notel Tipa, Mamidu Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vamul Lefnei Ribono Shel Olam, Tipa Zu Mateila, Gibar O Chalash, Chacham O Tipesh, Ashir O Ani, Shem Etomer Ani Marbe V'hum Mamayit, is therefore Echad Amarbe V'echad Amayit, that's the essence of this prayer that we just learned, or this idiomatic phrase that was the Chachamim of Yavne. And there's no question that the Chachamim of Yavne were the ones who really studied Torah. They understood after the Churban especially what the centrality of Torah is and always will be. Margala befume dabai liolam yehi odom orum biyira. He has to go through tachbulos. He has to find, you know, ways of outsmarting the Yetzirah in order to achieve yira and fear of the Creator. He's got to use his brain and figure it out in a very, create a ploy and a plan and a scheme. And he should always behave mane rach yoshiv chema, like the Pasuk in Mishlei tells us that he should respond rach, mane rach. Now the Mefarshim say that mane rach yoshiv means yoshiv ha'odam akas, he should overcome his anger, v'chema, and all of the anger, the kas that he has against his friend. He should always respond by overcoming his anger. And that's why Yeimar b'sholem im echov, he will successfully increase the brotherhood, the harmony amongst his peers, his friends, even with a guy in the shuk. V'im kol adam im krovov, and that's a special responsibility, a very difficult one sometimes, im krovov. He'll be beloved up in the Shamayim v'nechmed lamata, and beloved here on earth. Everyone accepts him. Everyone longs for him and enjoys his company, appreciates him. Someone who always has a smile. He reaches out to people, even to non-Jews. And this reminds us, of course, and the Gemara says, "V'imakdim shalom v'chalom nafil l'nochri." Amar lav Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai shalak dimo adam shalom miolam. No one would be the first one to say shalom to nafil l'nochri b'shuk even a guy. He would always be doresh tchila b'shlomo shal adam. He was the first to initiate shela shalom. The Taz in Yoredeya, by the way, asks, what's the chiddush here of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? The Shulchan Aruch itself paskins that a person has to be maktiv shalom even to a guy. So what exactly was unique about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai that lo ekdimo adam shalom me'olam? He actually just simply fulfilled the letter of the law. To really know the answer to that question, you have to know a little bit more about kfeila shalom. When somebody initiates shalom to you, the minhag was that you respond with a double shalom. And we don't want to give a double shalom to the guy, so therefore the halacha says that we should be makdim shalom to the guy. The chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan says the Taz can be understood in one of two ways. One way is to say that there's no Easter to be koval shalom to a guy unless you use the word shalom itself. Rabbi Yochanan didn't employ the word shalom. He would just be mevarech in order to avoid this issue of shalom. And the second way is to say that Rabbi Yochanan would be makdim shalom even to a guy that he didn't know. He was a total stranger to him. If you're talking about a guy that you know and you have familiarity with, then you always have to be choshish that he, the guy, will be shol tchila, he'll initiate the shalom, and you'll have to be kofel shalom. In Rabbi Yochanan's case, he was makdim shalom even for a guy in the shuk that he didn't know. Margala befumi derava tachlis chachma, the ikar of chachma of Torah, is To be a Torah observant Jew is tshuva u'maisim tovim. And lo yehi adam korei v'shone. A person shouldn't be, on the one hand, someone who's dedicated to learning, and we think, oh, he's great, but it really, he's bo'et bi'ov v'imo barabo. He really has no respect for his parents, chas v'shalom, for his Rebbe, b'misha u'golo mimenu b'chochme v'minyan. Shenemar, what's the foundation stone of Torah and its significance? The tachlis of chochme is reishis, chochme yiras Hashem. It's all for the sake of increasing the fear of God. Seichel tov l'chol oseyem. And what does this mean? Seichel tov l'chol oseyem. In other words, at the beginning of the study of Chachma, his kavana should be to achieve Yiras Hashem, to know through his Chachma how to be a Yirei Shamayim. That's what it's all about. Because Ein Bor Yirei Chet. Li Osim Lo Nemar Ela Le Oseyem. And what's the significance of Le Oseyem? And the answer is Li Osim Lishma. Those are the people who dedicate themselves to the Torah study for the purpose of Kiyum HaTorah, v'lo la'osim shelo lishma, who study and their Torah does not preserve, it's not retained, chal la'osim shelo lishma, noach lo shelo nivra ba'olam, be better if he wouldn't be born. As we've indicated in the past, this harsh shelo lishma of Noach Lo Shelo Nivra punishment is because he's Almanas Lekanter, not someone who's interested in glory, in kavod, about which the Pesukim Tehillim says, Ki Gadol Ad Shamayim Chasdecha, but we're talking about Almanas Lekanter. Let's just point out that the Gemara makes a difference here between Osim and Oseihem. Is Osim are those who do Maisa Mitzvahs. Oseihem are those who somehow recreate themselves through the Maisa Simcha, through the Maisa of Mitzvah. And the basic drasha is that a person, it's not enough that he dedicates himself to Torah, but rather he has to dedicate himself to implementing the Torah. Margola Befume Dirav. And again, there's a little bit of a girsa question here. Let's read it with the brackets. Lo ke olam azeh olam haba. Olam haba ein bo lo achila lo shsia. This is the statement of Rav, which the Rambam builds so much on, that olam haba has no physical pleasures, no eating, no drinking, not piri v'rivya. It's not about procreation, about masumatan, about business deals, lo kina, no jealousy. No sinna, no enmity, no tacharus, no competition. El tzaddikim yoshvim v'atroseyem b'rasheyem v'nenem miziv ashchina. As it says by Nadav Aviu and the 70 Zekenim, v'yechezu es ha'lokim v'yochlu v'yishtu. And the Pasuk is telling us that they were satiated from ziv ashchina as if they had eaten and drunk. So the next world is not about physical pleasures. Maybe for other religions it is, but not for ours. And Atroseim Roshayim is a very deep concept that the tzaddikim were kona these atoros. They acquired these crowns during their lifetime through Torah, through Maisim Tovim. And in the world to come, those atoros, those very crowns, will be worn on their heads, meaning they'll be zoche to understand the truth of Torah, of our faith, the reasons for mitzvahs, and especially the mitzvahs that they dealt with during that time and dedicated themselves to, and they weren't always able to achieve in this world the tachlis, the ultimate understanding, comprehension of the mitzvah, but in the next world, they'll be zoche to understand the absolute truth, they'll be nenemis of Ashkina. They'll be nenim, they'll enjoy hasagos sichlios, very deep concepts from the ziv hashchina. A person has to really cleanse himself, purify himself, uplift himself during this world not to get too involved in Anoa Gashmis, because ultimately the world to come, which is the eternal world, that's not a world of Anoa Gashmis, it's all Anoa Ruchnius. So if a person purifies himself in this world through Limud Torah and Kiyum Mitzvahs, which is all Keneged Ravach and Ramach Evarim and Shesagidim, he'll be able to really achieve the maximum of Ruchnius in Olam Haba. This is Rav's Musar. The Gemara now speaks about Noshim and how they'll be zocher to this Zchus HaTorah Liyosid Lava Gdola Avtocha Shevtichan HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaNoshim. The women are promised a divine reward in the world to come. Yosim and Noshim, that goes even beyond that of the men. Shenemar HaPosek in Yeshayin Noshim Shananos Kumna Komna Shmana Koli Banos Bitchos HaZena Imrosi. It means that since the Torah uses a double language here and it describes the women as Shananos and also as Botchos, we learn from this that the Havtochet HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Schar, for the women folk, is more, it exceeds beyond that of a man. And why is this so? Because men are Osek B'Torah, they could very easily, unfortunately, lose their Zchuyot if they're Toim, if they ever regret what they did and how much time they spent in Torah. But a woman who helps and supports her husband or her son to teach Torah, to learn Torah, she takes a part of that schar. And even if, chas v'shalom, they'll be mischarit on their limud, that wouldn't affect, impact her schar. She gets a complete schar. Amalei Rav, l'rabchia, noshim v'mayzachin, how do they get the schar? Folam abba, through the study of Torah, when they're not obligated in the mitzvah of Torah. And this is a famous Gemara in Masechet Sota as well, that a Sota can have a schus of Torah, and she might be spared from the, even if she's guilty, from the destruction of the Me'am Aromer. The Gemara says, Bakriye b'nayu lebeknishta, because they bring their children, their young children, to the Beis HaKnesses. There they'll study, they'll learn. Ulas ubasnuye gavrayu beirabonon, and they send out their husbands to the Beis Medrash to learn Mishnah and Gemara. The sons maybe more to learn Mikra, and the husbands to learn Mishnah and Gemara. V'notrin l'gavrayu adiosim mibeirabonon, they wait with patience, looking forward to the moment that their husbands will return for the Beis HaMedrash, but they give them their bracha to go out and learn. In the case of a Yarchikal, sometimes they're back in the day, the husband have to travel for weeks on end in order to get to this Yarchikal to learn Torah, and obviously his wife deserves all the schar. And we know the famous Gemara about Rabbi Akiva, who said, Shali v'shalach, shalachem, shalahi, it all is because of the wife. Behind every great man there's a great woman who encourages, who supports his learning, and a great sacrifice. The Gemara now tells us about the brachas that the Chachamim would bless each other when they were about to leave from the yeshiva and return home. Ki avim Miftere Rabbanon, when the Chachamim would take leave one or the other. And they would leave the Bay Rabbi Ami. For example, in this case, they left the Beis Medrash Rabbi Ami, the Amrile. Others say it was the Bay Rabbi Chia, the Beis Medrash Rabbi Chia, Amrile, Hachi. This is what they would say one to the other. Olamcha tire b'chayecha, v'achrischa l'chay olam abba. All your needs shall be Imritz Hashem met in this world, and your ultimate is the world to come. V'tikvascha ta'amod l'dor dorim, and your hopes, your aspirations will be projected through the generations down the line. You should be zocherim mashlim nefashos of achirim, yabonim, yatalmidim, and your zchus will be for dorei doros. Again, some of this reflects the nusach v'asiyim as well, when we finish a masechta. Libcha yeges vuna. This you'll find in the tefillah of the Chai Adam, that a father should bestow on his son on Erev Rosh Hashanah and Erev Yom Kippur. Picha yedaber chachmos. Your mouth should be dedicated to speaking words of wisdom, Lishon Chaya Chish Renanos, and your tongue will sing the songs of praise to God, Afapecha Yiyashiru Negdecha, and your eyes will always see something straight. In other words, you'll be able to understand the Torah, the Halacha, in a straight way. Al Pi Emes. Ein Chaya Iru B'Mara Torah, your eyes will light up with that supernal light of the Torah. And Panecha Yazhiru Kizor HaRakia, this is probably an allusion to Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Pasuk says in Koheles, Chachmas Adam Ta'ir Panav, and the chachma of a person somehow radiates in his countenance. Sifsosecha yabiu das, right? Bina and das. Das is the highest level, the most complete level of understanding, and your lips will be able to speak and transmit this high level, complete whole level of understanding. Kilyosecha, your kidneys. Talozna Mesharim will know the straight paths because the kidneys purify the blood, and you will be able to purify the straight paths and reject anything that's impure. Yerutzu Lishma'a Palmecha, your tzadim, your walking, your strides will bring you quickly to hear the Divrei Torah, like David Melch says about his feet just naturally took him towards the Beis Medrash. And this Torah was given to you from the mouth of Hashem, which is called the Atik Yomin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in Kabbalah as the Atik Yomin, the ancient one. Not the old one, but the ancient one. Something that's ancient really takes you back to a rich past. And we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Daniel, in Sefer Daniel, calls HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Atik Yomin. Atik means Miyushan, but Kmo Dvarim Atikim, things that are very precious, they're antiques. And this is Hashem, who is the great Atik Yomin. And he has, of course, eternal messages for us. When they left the yeshiva of Rav Chisda, Amrile mi bei Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, or some say that, Amrile hachi, this is what they would say one to the other, quoting the Pasuk in Tehillim, Alufenu misubolim, ein peretz v'ein yotzeis, v'ein tzvacha berchovosenu. And all this is about, Gemara is going to explain this Pasuk and why it was used for a bracha, but I think we'll end the shiur now, and B'li Neder will pick up tomorrow's shiur on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis.